Hello and welcome to the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by Jason and Ingo Tantra. Here we're exploring spirituality and personal growth through the practice of Tantra, the body, energy and sex. Hello there, I'm Jason Tantra and welcome to episode 14 of the Tantra for Gay Men podcast. This one's a really exciting topic. Ingo and I are talking about why Tantra in 2024 for gay men, and we're discussing and exploring this in a way that hopefully it really speaks to you about, you know, why you in 2024 and why would Tantra be relevant to you? How could it help you? Yeah, really exciting podcast, and really listen through because we kind of go through about three or four different ideas or arguments for that we discuss and explore. And at the end, we talk all about a really special Tantra retreat that we're leading in the sacred landscape of Glastonbury later in 2024. Listen all the way through, and I hope you enjoy. Take care now. Bye-bye. Hello, beautiful Ingo.
Hello, Jason.
Here we are again.
Next episode of our podcast.
We are in the Yoni Room in Glastonbury.
Yes, in the Goddess Temple. Very esoteric.
Very beautiful place. And today in our podcast, we are dealing with the question, we are looking at why Tantra for gay men in 2024. Why is it relevant? It's 2024, isn't it? Is it 2024?
It is.
Sometimes it is lost on the year.
Summer 2024.
Thank you. I wonder sometimes what planet we're on sometimes. So yeah, you know, one of the questions I have is why Tantra for gay men or men who love men in 2024? Why not 100 years ago? Why not 50 years ago? Why is it important for us and our community right now, right at this very time? And I've got some ideas. And
would you like to start? I've got 1,000 ideas as well.
But okay, good.
Maybe you start with one of your key ideas, and then I will bring one.
Yeah. Well, one of the ideas that I had was around the development for gay men over the last 70 years. So, for example, my understanding is in the 50s and 60s, being gay was, one, illegal, and criminalized, and also for us as a community, we kind of lived sub beneath all of the heterosexuality. Like, being heterosexual was the only option, and there were also sex studies done in the 50s and 60s. Was it Kinsey,
for example? Yeah.
And they, thankfully, towards the end of the 60s, correct me here, but they then found that actually being gay, or, you know, having same-sex attraction, was not actually an illness anymore. It was just some people are gay. That's kind of the conclusion that they got to. So for me, when I look at the landscape for men who love men, for gay men, for us in the 70s, it was, you know, well, in the 50s and 60s, it was illegal. In the 70s, it was decriminalized slightly.
Well, it took until something like 1992 until the last barriers were removed, like in Germany at least, I think. Yeah. Something like that.
I think in the,
something like that.
In the UK, it was in the 70s. And I think in the USA, without pulling up Google, late 70s. But we were still, you know, living in a marginalized society. Completely. And things like nightclubs were hidden, you know, barricades. We were still hiding who we were. And then as we go into the 80s, the AIDS crisis.
Yes.
And then, you know, we're starting to be recognized, starting to get some, we're starting to be seen in the the main consciousness. Then, you know, we're dealing with the AIDS crisis. And then I feel in the 90s, it was very much about equality. Going into the noughties, you know, gay marriage, I think we started with civil partnerships, didn't we? Sort of like 2010.
Yeah.
And so what my point is that over the last 50, 60 years, 70 years, as a gay man, we've gone through being accepted in wide, you know, in mainstream society. Like right now, if we're in the street, I've got no qualms in holding your hand. Mm-hmm. I don't care that people know that we're gay. And I'm really not expecting any homophobia. I'm not expecting any sarcastic comments. And I feel right now, whilst there's a lot of troubles in the world, actually I feel kind of quite equal in society right now. So then there's the question for me, well, where next for gay men? Mm-hmm. And this is where I come back to the idea that Tantra of its time is really right, because In an aside to this argument, I also want to talk about the role of religion. Like, yes. I don't feel in 2025 that men who love men have a spiritual framework or a religious framework, mm-hmm. where they feel accepted. I mean, look, Ingo, the workshops we've done in the USA.
Oh, God, especially in the USA. Look, people coming from all kinds of backgrounds, from Baptist to Mormon to all kinds of very religious backgrounds, and it's even the younger younger people in their 20s or 30s and having gone through a repression, like extreme repression, and then having to trying to find a framework to work through that, basically. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, and also for me, religion has just done an amazing job, mm-hmm. of telling everybody that they're wrong. So every gay man, that their sexuality, I mean, look at the toxicity and the harm, mm-hmm. caused by conversion therapy.
Yes.
And we've had people, you know, in our workshops, haven't we, where they've, you know, been through, it's just fucking traumatizing, is the only way I can describe it. So here we are in 2024, and
I think the point in that is that most of these, you know, these religious movements, religious education, religious upbringing, basically suppresses our unique expression of sexuality.
Yes.
And when people go through that, it's like almost they lost part of their soul, lost part of an expression that should actually be uniquely theirs, and that's part of their humanity. Mm. And they're somehow, you know, they're somehow stunted in many ways. And for me, the work that we do with that, and that's maybe the first thing why Tantra is so much of this time in this context, is about re-empowering and reclaiming our own individual sexual expression.
Yes.
As our own.
Yes.
And not as something that has way, way, way too often been appropriated by religious institutions, political institutions, who are trying to tell us what is, you know, what
right
is right or wrong, and how we are meant to express this or not, you know?
Yes, completely, completely. And so for me, the reason why I think Tantra right now is most mainstream religion has rejected us, or made us wrong, or tried to convert us. Actually, I'm not sure of any religion. Well, some are like changing, but I don't know of any religion that welcomes men who love men, gay men, just as they are. And it's like, this is, you're right as you are. Mm-hmm. At some level, they've made us wrong in so many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think from what I see, especially some of our US people who have studied with us, there are now certainly pockets within, you know, mainstream Christianity, especially in the US, that are completely, you know, with lots and lots of activist work, with lots and lots of work these people have done to anchor our place as gay people within those religions. And I think this is bearing fruit. Mm. However, at the same time, I personally think that the unique thing that Tantra can contribute is that in our work, we're trying to go back to the source where sexuality and our sexual expression can emerge from what we are in our unconditioned state. it.
Yes.
And who am I with my unique sexual expression? And I personally believe that only once I have found that, I can then see if I want to reintegrate that, for example, with my religious community or something like that, which some people who have studied with us have basically gone through this process. They basically said, okay, it's not just about me as a gay man being appreciated in my religious community, which, you know, increasingly there are pockets of that, but it's much more. It's about me finding my unique expression of sexuality and then seeing how can I bring that.
And I love everything you're saying. In developing that, one of the points I want to make is about the role of spirituality. Mm-hmm. Because I believe what we've been through in the last 70 years in the development for gay men, mm-hmm. I believe that has been a spiritual path, mm-hmm. because all of that we've been through has taken us back to a place where we're trying to be the truth of who we are. Mm-hmm. So if you imagine, before anybody made any judgments about anybody and made anybody wrong, mm-hmm. you know, I know in my body that I'm a gay man, I'm attracted to other men, mm-hmm. and yet I was brought up in a society, you know, I came out in the late 80s, mm-hmm. where still in the southwest of England, it was still seen as something quite, it was a biggie, you know, there was a big coming out thing and being accepted. It certainly wasn't like it was today. There was certainly a huge, you know, acceptance, and it was a big event that somebody had come out. But from a spiritual perspective, that was still the process of living in truth. When I talk about Tantra as love and truth, actually, I think part of stepping up in the world and saying, listen, I'm a gay man, I'm attracted to other men, is part of living in alignment with truth. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, gay men are predisposed to a spiritual journey in living their truth, in coming out, in having a relationship, in getting married. Like, I know that when we got married, do you remember that, baby? You know, there was still a bit of me that was a little bit apprehensive, mm-hmm. because it was a massive event with 160 mm-hmm. people. And I was quite a lot terrified that it was a really big statement to say, I'm going to marry the absolute love of my life, which was beautiful. And I would do that again 100 times, 1,000,000 times over. But, you know, my point is, what we've been through in the last 17 years is a spiritual journey. But actually, that's still not enough. Like, for me, what we've wanted is equality. Mm-hmm. And I think we've, you know, we could argue that, but generally we're kind of in that ballpark. And my question is, well, what's next? And this is why I think Tantra is of its time today. And I'm just going to give you a chance to respond to that, because I've got two avenues I want to go down with, mm-hmm. that. So what do you think? Do you agree?
Okay.
Any response?
I thought you were in the middle of
An argument. I believe that where we are today in 2024, we as gay men have been on a spiritual journey for the last 70 years around being the truth of who we are and asking for equality. You're not asking, demanding equality. And I think we're at the potential of a plateau. And what we've also said, mm-hmm. is that religion has marginalized us, and religion is really not. So it's like, well, where is the spiritual path for gay men? And I want to make a pitch for Tantra in a second.
Okay, yeah. Let me just say a few things about that. So we're going to make a pitch for Tantra later, but let's just have this kind of working definition of the spiritual path, which is to uncover your true nature.
Yes.
Uncover who you truly are beyond what, you know, society puts onto you, your upbringing, your traumas, your preferences, you name it. So if the path is uncovering who you truly are, then Tantra, the unique thing in there is to also uncover your sexual expression And the way how you weave your sexual expression and your sexuality and and your capability of being intimate with others, how you weave that into your life. And here's my point. Mm-hmm. I think we have reached equality in, well, at least in certain largely countries. There are many, many countries in this world where this isn't, and you know, the battle continues for that. But let's say even in places where we have reached a certain equality, let's say certain European countries, I would say we have reached equality, but I do not think we have reached freedom in really expressing mm-hmm. ourselves sexually. So, and I want to talk about that later, because I feel the way it is allowed to express yourself sexually is very, very, there are certain ways, and anything that is beyond that is...
Well, and I think also the other thing we've been dealing with, I think, in the last few years is relationship structures.
Yes.
I think when gay marriage came out, we all thought we were meant to live a heteronormative model mm-hmm. of two people being together.
And exactly. That's what I wanted to say. The question is, are we really free in bringing our sexual expression into our relationships, our relationship with society in the way that is really us? And I would say no, because there are certain ways where it is in which it is accepted. Mm-hmm. You know, traditional couples relationship, mm-hmm. Maybe Grindr, certain areas where we, you know, we can have sex in the dark room, but mm-hmm. how do we bring real intimacy to others that are not our immediate partner or something like that? That's a big question for me, for example.
Yes. I wanted to talk about sex because I think, again, as gay men, we have done a really good job over the last 70 years of exploring every possible sexual action that we could possibly do to mm-hmm. each other, apart from intimacy and spirituality, yes. which I'll make a pitch for that in a moment. But it's like we have, in our sexual expression, we've done everything, and we've developed subcultures out of that. Mm-hmm. And I love all of that. And that, for me, is all an expression of our natural life force energy.
Yes.
Our natural state of how we want to be being expressed in all these different forms and mm-hmm. creativity.
Yes. Okay. Where are you going with?
Well, what I'm wanting to say is that I think for us as gay men, we've used sex mm-hmm. as a way to express ourselves, mm-hmm. as a way to find out who we are, because being gay is about sex.
Yes.
It's, you know, primarily it's like from like root chakra. It's about how we want to express our sexual energy, who we want to fuck, who we want to be fucked by, mm-hmm. how we want to, different ways to explore sexual energy. And I think we also, as gay men, use sex as gateways and portals into intimacy, into connection, into like reaching out. Like, you know, if people go to a new city, you know, traveling with work or traveling, you know, it's quite likely that they would use sex as the vehicle to have the experience of the place that they are visiting, as well as, you know, touring around the museums and the ancient ruins. But actually, you know, sex is a part of our identity. And so, but I think we've a danger of kind of reaching a ceiling level. And this is where Tantra can take it onto its next stage. It can kind of elevate it further. And before I go into that, I just wanted to check in with you. That's kind of where I was going, that I think as gay men, we've used sex as a way to express ourselves. But the reason I come back to, again, why Tantra 2024 is because there's more to go at in terms of the development of gay men and in terms of development of our sex as a gateway into our spirituality.
Yes. Yeah, I'm completely on the same page as you.
Good. Yeah. Good. That's a win. Anything you want to say to all of that?
No, continue for a moment. I will say something in a minute.
So my next point then is, okay, if we're then developing that, so if we've done a really good job of mostly having or much greater equality, mm-hmm. we've expressed and looked at ourselves sexually, that still isn't the end of the spiritual journey in terms of, well, what's next? And so I think this is where Tantra teaches people how to use sexual energy to broaden their experience of themselves, or to uncover, or another word, to realize the wider truth of who you are, the wider sense of you. What I mean by this is, we are all pretty conditioned to live in our boxes in our life. We have a certain job, we have a certain apartment, we go certain places, we know certain people, we stay in a certain place. And what can happen is that we become like a caricature of ourselves, living our identity of who we are, and we just keep going round on that hamster wheel. What you and I know, Ingo, is that when people arrive at the door of Tantra, actually quite often they're looking for something. Mm-hmm. There's a dissatisfaction. They're looking for something. They know there's something more. They've done all the sex that they can. They've done all the drugs that they can. They've been to all of the parties that they can. They've been to all the gay pride marches. We've done all of that stuff. And yet there's still a deeper sense of, yes, but there's still more to do. And I think this is where then Tantra shows people, as a spiritual practice, and there are, you know, a multitude of different spiritual practices, but what I love, and again, this reinforces my part about Tantra for gay men in 2024, is because we use sex and sexual energy as the life force, as the vehicle to propel you into your spiritual journey.
I think you are onto something that I wanted to say before. So, okay, if we go back to us expressing ourselves in really multiple ways, let's say we've had every conceivable sex party and BDSM party, and you know, you can have your grinder shack, you can go to orgies, but if you look at what it is that really would, for me personally at least, drive me to be in there, it's these almost transcendental moments.
Yes.
Where, for example, let's say at a good sex party, all of a sudden it's like, wow, I didn't even know that intimacy, that kind of connection could exist on that level. But it's pretty random to show up, because you know, you never know how it's going to go and what level those people are going to be on. But when it shows up, it's like a whole different level of intimacy. So for me, that is unlike anything else, that level of connection, that even that's way beyond the physical act of sex. And when I go through that, when I experience that, and this is the point, I'm like, wow, there is a real issue with the expression of intimacy, of connection in my life. Why can I only have this in a kind of, let's say, in a BDSM club or something like that? Why can't I have that? Why can't I live in that kind of intimate expression in any relationship throughout my daily life? And that is, you know, with or without having sex with someone. And these are real, much bigger questions. And I think we are not free in that quite yet.
I think we might be doing a disservice, because we might be lumping several things all together. And I think that there are different parts of the Tantra journey. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to think what model we've used to describe them before. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I think Tantra, for people knocking at the door as an introduction, mm-hmm. I think there's stuff to be doing there.
Yes.
But somebody who's been practicing for 3-5 years, actually what they're looking for in Tantra is completely different.
Yes, but can't we, you know, I'm not sure if we can agree on this. One of the biggest things coming up in the beginning, at the beginning of the Tantra journey, is this question of intimacy.
Completely.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that people are dealing with.
Yeah.
Is how do I allow people, like one of the common things mm-hmm. people deal with early in Tantra is how could I share my sexual energy with somebody that I don't find attractive?
Yes.
Because we live in a society where I'm only going to share my sexual energy with you if I find you visually stimulating and attractive. And that for me is a place of unhappiness, because what you're doing is just living in a world judging visually. And I know that some of the most amazing experiences I've had have been the most amazing energetic experiences, the most expanded experiences have been with people that I wouldn't traditionally fancy. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, one of the things you learn early in the Tantra journey is the difference between visually attractive and what I would call energetically attractive.
Yes. And I think the question is even bigger. I think the question is more, how can I share the intimacy that I have to share?
Yes.
Whatever degree of erotic, cuddly, sensual, maybe sexually, there's this whole spectrum that can be in there. It can be from a little cuddle with someone to full-on sex with someone. How can I share this energy with someone who comes along in a way that feels exactly right, and that is not either nothing or full-on fucking or something like that? You know, we are in these extremes.
Finding the
degrees,
the range.
How can I find this kind of degree? How can I, for example, you know, I'm not into sex with everyone I meet, but how could I meet someone and share intimacy to the degree that it feels right and that might just be something sensual? And I think there are almost no contexts in our gay life for that.
I want to talk about the liberation mm-hmm. of your judgments of where your sexual energy goes, mm-hmm. because I think that's another dimension of what we're talking about. So you're right, when you meet people, mm-hmm. rather than just like, yes, no, shut us down, yeah. fuck, no fuck, actually what we introduce is a range, and we say that mm-hmm. there's something you could share with everybody,
yes.
whether that's a cuddle, whether that's eye gazing,
yes.
whether that's, you know, gentle cock stroking,
holding each other,
all the way up to more rampant yeah. things. But I also think there's another dimension to this as part of a spiritual journey, mm-hmm. is where you liberate yourself from the judgments you have of where you apply your sexual energy. So I know, and you know, for example, you know, if I'm receiving a multi-orgasmic tantric massage mm-hmm. and I'm in a very expanded state, most people, most men that buy an erotic massage, mm-hmm. buy an erotic massage based on how the person looks, but you're led down on a table and your eyes are closed for most of the time, if not all of the time, of your one and a half hours. So why does it matter what the person looks like? Surely it's about how the person's skill is, you know, how they touch you, how good they are at the different techniques, and it's got nothing to do with how you look. What I mean by this then is, as part of a, it feels like a spiritual threshold, when you realize that you can be in your, this is it, you can be in your sexual energy regardless of who you're with and what that looks like. And that is one of the key liberations mm-hmm. of Tantra. Like, it's like a claiming of a freedom, mm-hmm. because once you can, I guess, take responsibility for your sexual energy, take responsibility and not need to make a judgment about how you're in it depending on who's around you, there's a freedom in that. I don't know if that's making sense.
I think we are trying to almost say the same thing. I just had this, but from slightly different angles.
Yeah,
I just had this image of, you know, let's say a typical gay hookup culture. We've got a bar in which we drink.
Yeah.
Maybe that bar has a dark room. Mm-hmm. So I would look out for people I want to go full on with.
Yeah.
Yes, no, and then you know, then let's see if there is a hookup, and then maybe go home and fuck, or go into the dark room and fuck. And so for me, my point is, and this is why I feel that Tantra, before all the spiritual stuff, like on a very basic level, that's why I think why Tantra on a very basic level is so relevant for that culture, because in this culture almost I always felt that that's one reason why I, you know, came to Tantra first, is that in this culture everything in between was missing.
Yep.
So I experienced this mainstream culture in a way that I either, you know, I either don't hook up, maybe chat with someone, or if, you know, we really like each other, then it could be, you know, go full on. But all the expression in between that, where are the cuddles? Where is the friendship that can be slightly sensual, but that does not necessarily have to be sexual? Where is the exploration of how far we really, really want to go or not?
Yes.
It was like on or off in a certain kind of way, and that is certainly not helped by, let's say, alcohol and things like that. And that was something that I really, really missed, this kind of spectrum of like sensual, intimate, erotic expression in connections that are each unique, like friendships, some of which are, you know, temporary or not. And what I missed was a context for that, like a group that is being set up.
Yes.
And for me, an ideal kind of, let's say, gay party or gay pub, maybe, you know, pubbing and clubbing, a context would allow for all these things in between, would allow for these kinds of deeper connections. And that's what Tantra does on a kind of what I call community level.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to point to.
Which is the first level that comes before we go into the spiritual.
Yep.
And that is, and the reason why I'm bringing this now is, I personally think that this level is super relevant for our time right now, because I still feel, despite us, you know, having reached a certain amount of equality, and despite us being now able to go to all kinds of extreme parties however we want, and these contexts exist, where are those contexts that explore everything that is between we are not connecting, we are connecting a little bit, and full-on sex, all of that thing, and, you know, all of that spectrum. And that has been Tantra for me, and that has been hugely liberating for the way in which I relate to gay people, you know, to my fellow gay brothers in general.
Well, let's talk about the Tantra Love Festival.
Exactly.
It's now in its 13th year,
and
we host that in Glastonbury, UK, every August. We've got it in a couple of weeks, which is probably why we're talking about it. I mean, for me, we've attracted a, you know, 100, 130 men that, whilst they're coming to practice Tantra, I would say half of the reason that they're there is, you know, for us, the festival is all about love. And it's all about creating a wonderland of being able to be love, hug, you know, all of the things you talk about, all the different grades of levels of intimacy. and love, and it's more than friendship. It's like a brotherhood, because friends is like so far, but these are like intimate friends. Mm-hmm. These are friends you would cuddle with. So I agree with you. I think that that is one of the base ways Tantra creates, I guess, like a subculture.
Yes.
As I think what you're saying. Yes. We have, through what we do, have created a subculture mm-hmm. where it's okay to be you, it's okay to cuddle, it's okay to integrate mm-hmm. sexual sharing within friendships, within love, within lovers and boyfriends, your different whatever labels we put on. I think what we're doing is we are helping people explore themselves without labels. I think this is why we struggle.
Yes, and this is exactly what I mean in you know, in mainstream gay, let's say, you know, again, the pub with a dark room.
Yeah,
it's in a way, for me, it's all very, very prescribed. It's like you look out for someone, oh yeah, you fancy them, you know. Then you, if you're very lucky, you hook up and you take them maybe into the dark room, and then literally
where you can't see anything.
Literally, the threshold into the dark room changes the energy, but it's prescribed, because once you're in the dark room, what you do is, you know, a certain very narrow spectrum of things.
Yes.
Like you basically fuck, you basically wank each other off, or whatever you do. So how about, and this is actually the mind-blowing thing, which was mind-blowing for me when I came first to Tantra groups.
Yeah.
And as you say, this is expressed at how we do the festival, for example, is how about if we had a space where I can connect to this person, we can actually chat about what it is that we would like to do with each other.
Yes.
And by the way, we have learned the skills to express ourselves verbally, to express what we want, what we don't want, our yeses, our noes. Mm. I'm mentioning this because this is also one part of the tantric education. Mm. And then we both know exactly what we can do for each other and where this could go, and we can play in a way that is not so prescribed. And I've had, as you say, especially with people I would not normally fancy in a kind of standard way, I've had really mind-blowing encounters in this context. And that's, again, I would say the community aspect of Tantra. But the point is, it needs to be learned. You need to learn how to communicate these things.
And how to operate.
How to operate, how to know your boundaries, how to recognize another person's boundaries, how to be in consent.
Yes.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes. We're doing a huge disservice if we don't talk about the spiritual relationship with the other in the relationship of Tantra. I love what we've said so far.
Yeah.
And I think that's a solid argument around Tantra creates like-minded community where we are redeveloping the roles and labels of how we connect and share intimacy.
That's it. Yes.
Love it.
That's exactly. And that's of our time.
Yes.
Because I think expressing intimacy in our time for many like political reasons and societal reasons has become more isolating in many ways.
Yes.
So this is almost political work to bring intimacy,
counterculture.
Yeah, to bring intimacy back into relationships outside of just your partner.
I agree. And there's a whole other thing. And the reason I'm wanting to spend some time in this next bit is because I've been working on the diploma in Tantra that we're going to do, healing and surrender. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, in 30th of November to Friday the 6th of December. I want to return to the mystical aspect of Tantra, because our asses, for me, are gateways and portals into other dimensions, other states, other ways to experience ourselves beyond how we do in a day-to-day. And we know, Ingo, when we, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, the person that's been in Tantra 2, 3, 4, 5 years, You know, when you talk about tantric sex, I think tantric sex doesn't even begin to describe the depths of the what the practice of tantric sex has. Because for me, the way I've been able to describe it up to now, it's like traveling in a spaceship. For me, you know, tantric sex, say you're doing it with one other person, it's like you create this space capsule. And through the techniques, through the practices, through all the psychology, like all of the issues that you've worked through, we haven't even talked about that yet in this, about how Tantra helps all of that. We might get time. But for me then, beyond that, there are these most profound, most subtle, most divine, most sacred, most spiritual, most holy experiences. And they're so subtle and precious that I don't know any other way in my life that I've experienced those things other than the practice of Tantra.
Yes, and the important thing in here is that all of these experiences are genuinely our own. When
yes.
we practice Tantra, they come from within ourselves. We can, so to speak, you know, if you
well, you say within ourselves, I think they come from our inner landscape.
What I'm saying is, we can. I wanna just bring this arc back to this kind of reclaiming what we have lost through religious indoctrination.
Yes,
is that we can basically through these things we can open ourselves up to a direct experience of the numinous.
Yes,
God, the beyond, yes. whatever you wanna call it, with. Out having this dogma and
yes.
this middleman.
Yes. Yes.
And in that sense, I feel it's a reclaiming of our own power. And that also,
yes.
the title of the podcast, is of our time, that we need to reclaim this.
And the other thing is, for me, it's embodied.
Yes.
Like everything you're going to experience and perceive is through your body. And that, for me, is of its time. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I would say is the reason why it's relevant to gay men is because it's sex. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes back to mm-hmm. that natural life force energy, our primal sexual energy. It's almost like learning to ride the bucking bronco. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And learning to put a saddle on it and like tame it to enable it to show you and open up to you all of the divine possibilities. Like we know, Ingo, through our 19 years of teaching, mm-hmm. people have had, you know, we've had so many people that have had really profound spiritual experiences. You know, we've had one person lying on our workshop, this might scare people listening, lying on our workshop floor in a retreat in a constant state of orgasm
yes.
for 12 hours and feeling like they were with the divine
yes.
in every moment of that. You know, and like also recently in the summer, you know, when we did our Stargate, people went beyond their understanding of orgasm into something universal, into something collective and something deeply profound and spiritual that people struggle to put the words to. And the thing I love about all of this is I don't think we should try to explain it, categorize it, label it, define it. I think what you and I can do is be servants to these experiences and enablers, mm-hmm. like guardian angels, of creating the containers for those experiences to happen.
That brings up for me like one term that I want to introduce, basically, which is, you know, bringing it back to the title of our podcast, Why in This Time? I think this time, politically, you know, where the world is going, there is just the huge potential to fall into either despair or numbness or depression or something like that. And these tantric experiences, these experiences beyond ourselves, these numinous experiences, what they bring, and this is the term, for me at least, it's the term of re-enchantment.
Yes.
They re-enchant the world.
Yes.
When I practice this and when I have these experiences, what it infuses me with is the sense that despite all the crap and the despair and the wars going on in this world, there is the potential for love and connection to be felt within myself. And this re-enchants the world. It shows a certain amount of it shows goodness. It shows enchantment. And that for me is something, you know, why Tantra is contemporary, because this is more needed, you know, in these crazy times, it's more needed than anything, for me at least.
Yeah, yeah. I love what you're saying there about people could just suffer if they just read their news apps all the time.
Exactly, you can doom scroll. Or you can put yourself into this intention of, I want to experience the numinous, and I want to re-enchant my world through this. And that somehow, it doesn't make you immune, but it helps for me to deal with the craziness of the world a lot better.
I think the other thing that Tantra does, lastly, as we move into our little summary closing, for me, I think the other thing is that people become very identified with what they hear on their news channel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, at this time of recording, there's, you know, the upcoming US election.
Exactly.
There's all of the politics that are happening. As you said, there's all the
tensions
kind of stuff in the war
is,
in the world.
And there's the race of fascism. There's all of these absolutely horrible things.
And we could, if we're not careful, get lost in all of that.
Yes.
And for me, I wonder whether the trick is that you could still have an eye on that, and you could still be aware of that, and you could still feel that that's going on. But what's central to you is where you are and the experience of you in what you're doing in your life. And I think Tantra has the most embodied way of bringing you back to you, back to the here and now. And, you know, again, reinforcing, this is why I think Tantra is like a sledgehammer of pressing a major reset button on you to bring you back to you. And then once you've come back to you, you can then kind of have an eye on what's happening in the rest of the world.
You can actually connect to the world. It's not being reclusive. It's actually the opposite. It's being able to connect to all of the craziness of the world, but without falling into the despair.
Ingo, thank you. Listen, as we close, we want to talk about a beautiful retreat that we're leading. Saturday the 30th of November,
30th of November 2024 to the 6th of December 2024.
Friday the 6th of December.
Yes.
And this is a really profound, really special Tantra retreat. It's called Healing and Surrender. And I think we're in that week, we're looking at both. We're really looking at using anal massage and using the anus, arse as a portal into the healing of you. And, you know, we've done this week many times,
and it has always been like
profound,
very transformational, moving for people.
Yeah, completely.
30th of November to the 6th of December 2024 in Glastonbury, UK.
Yes.
For those, if you're coming from the US, easy to reach from London Heathrow Airport.
Yep. In the sacred landscape of Glastonbury, I would say. And the other part of the week I wanted to talk about was around surrender and holding power. And I love the way that we've interpreted that in a contemporary way that gay men would interpret surrender and power, without any spoilers. Really If you're up for an exciting adventure and you kind of have a little bit of a hedonistic nature, or you're like, oh my God, I'm so stuck in my life, I need to do something different, this is the place to come.
To play with those polarities of power and surrender and really be both.
Yeah.
And yeah.
We would love you to come and join us. We've got about, we've got, I think, just over halfway booked.
Yes.
Got a nice group forming.
It's already promising to be quite a profound group with the people who have booked already.
We would love you to come and join us. Yeah. Ingo, thank you so much for today. Do you know, I started this podcast thinking, oh, I don't know that we've got a lot to say on the topic about why Tantra for gay men in 2024.
Always interesting where it goes.
And I'm sure we've got so much more, but thank you for spending this time with me, baby.
Love you, my darling.
I love you. I was going to just say that to you. I love you too, sweetheart. Okay, see you next time.
See you next time, dear listener.
Bye, dear listener. Bye-bye. So I really hoped you enjoyed today's podcast. It was a real fascinating discussion for me and Ingo. We really enjoyed sharing and talking about that. If you're interested in the Diploma in Tantra Healing and Surrender module, Saturday the 30th of November to Friday the 6th of December in Glastonbury, UK, have a look at the website tantraforgaymen.co.uk or tantraforgaymen.com, where you can see all of the details of that. We'd love to welcome you, and we also look forward to seeing you in episode 15, where we are talking about how sexual abuse can, you know, really damage and hinder the sex that you have, and as part of that, how Tantra can help. So that's coming up in episode 15. Lots of love to you. Take care. See you next time. Bye-bye.